This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
And it seems that the Messenger of Allah, when he was saying this hadith, it seems as though he was looking at the condition of the Ummah today.
Ya Ummati, fastabshiri, mahma takathart al-jirah, wallahu mawlana wa la.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منها ومنهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد عباد الله اعلموا أن خير الكلام كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار عباد الله My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, We stand right here by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to live what was ilm al-ghayb or part of ilm al-ghayb at the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're here to witness that something that the people outside of Islam at that time could not grasp, could not understand. And the reason that they didn't understand is because they did not understand what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was talking about at that time. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he used to talk, he never used to talk out of his desire, as we know. في صحيح البخاري ومسلم من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن عاص قال كنت أكتب. He said, I used to write everything that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say and used to do and how he used to act. If the Messenger of Allah sneezes a certain way, there was Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As who used to record a report. And if he says something, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there you go, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As sitting down, recording that. If he receives a delegation, Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As was sitting there to see how the Messenger of Allah received the delegation. قال فقال لي رجال من أهلي أو من قومي. He said, then a man from my tribe, men from my people came to me. فقالوا, they said to me, إن هو إلا, but he's only a human being. Do not write everything that he says, everything that he do, every move that he makes. قال فأمسكت عن الكتابة ثلاث. He said, for 3 days I did not write anything from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. قال ثم أتي, then I came to the messenger of Allah and I told him what happened. At that time the messenger of Allah became angry. قال فحمر وجه, his face became red, صلى الله عليه وسلم became red. فقال اكتب يا ابن عمر, he said, write everything that I say, write everything that I do, write everything that you see. قال وأخذ بلساني, and he took his tongue. فقال اكتب فوالله لا يقول إلا حق. He said, write. Indeed, this tongue does not say anything but the truth. So today, we're going to live with a glimpse of how the messenger of Allah predicted some of the future scenes. And remember, ya ibadallah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was only speaking through revelations. Wan najmi ila hawa, ma dalla sahibukum wa ma ghawa, wa ma yantiqu anil hawa, in huwa illa wahyun yuha. Everything that he did in terms of the Sharia, in terms of guidelines towards this deen, towards Akhirah, towards Allah, towards the unseen, it was nothing but a revelation. And yes, every single person who's sitting here, most likely you believe in that. But Allah said in the Quran, وَذَكِّرْ وَذَكِّرْ. Why? Both of them, he said, إِنَّ فَعَتِ الذِّكْرَى, indeed, reminder will benefit. In another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, reminder will benefit the believer. So no one's going to come to this stage. No one is going to come here and tell you something outside of the deen of Allah. Something outside the Quran and the Sunnah. We sit here so we can remember and remind each other. And remember, the reminder will only benefit the believers. Will only benefit us. One of the unique things, the Messenger of Allah predicted many things. Many, many things. And in this prediction was enough for some of the people who receive the news of the future to contradict and paralyze the messenger of Allah and the message of the messenger of Allah if this message was fake. For instance, the death of Abu Jahl and his abhorred of being from the people of Jahannam was told to Abu Jahl 9 years before his death. All he had to do was, عَلَيْهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا يَسْتَحِقُ, was do something that is contradicting what the messenger of Allah, when Allah revealed in the Quran, تَبَّتْ يَدَى أَبِي لَهَبٍ وَتَبْ مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ سَيَصْلَى نَارًا ذَاتِ الْحَبِ. Here, 9 years before his death, Allah already told Abu Jahl he's going to be from the people of Jahannam. All Abu Jahl had to do was, even fakely, was to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, as a munafiq. Even as a munafiq, but he couldn't do it. Because he had to live through the prophecy of the messenger of Allah and die as a kafir. One of the most profound hadith is a hadith al-wahd, hadith thawban. Subhanallah. And it seems that the messenger of Allah, when he was saying this hadith, it seems as though he was looking at the condition of the ummah today. As though the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was living with us today. Listen to the hadith al-Wahm. يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يوشك أن تداعى عليكم الأمم. يوشك. He said it's about to happen that the nation تداعى عليكم الأمم. That the nation when it invites, they will invite one another on you. On you. On the ummah. كما تداعى الأكلة على قصعتها. You know, when the West or Europeans, when they decided to deal with the world, they came to the conclusion and they realized every dynasty, every legacy, every empire, it has to come to decline at one point. So they study in UK. They studied, they came together, and they said, and this is when the United Kingdom was ruling the world. So they said, how do we do this? We have witnessed the Persian Empire. We have witnessed the Roman Empire. We have witnessed the Muslim Empire. We have witnessed the Mongol Empire. We witnessed empire coming up and going down. What should we do? تَدَعَى عَلَيْكُمَ الْأُمَمُ. So they decided three things. They divided the world into three categories. The white, the yellow, and green. Three different colors. اقرأوا تاريخ يا أخي. Read the history. So they decided to say when it comes to white, the legacy of power and authority has to rotate. What does it mean? It means if the United Kingdom can no longer continue carrying this message, carrying this superiority, carrying this authority over the world, then this next person must be a white person. The next person who's going to carry the torch that the United Kingdom has to hand it over has to be somebody from Europe. So if the UK cannot do it, the France has to pick up. If France cannot do it, the Americans have to pick up. Somebody has to pick up, which we were living today. The second part, they say the yellow world, which means the Asian, mainly Chinese, Indians, and everybody else from Asia. They say we deal with mutual exchange. We give and take from them. But when it comes to Muslim world, which they call Muslim world, Middle East and Africa, the green world, the rich world, the world full of resources. When it comes to that, then we have to divide them. تَدَعَى عَلَيْكُمَ الْأُمَمُ كَمَا تَدَعَى الْأَكَلَةُ عَلَىٰ قَصَعَتِهَا. You know, the nation, the messenger of Allah said, we call each other as a people, we call each other to a feast. To a feast. And one of the things that they said is, number one, we got to divide it into small portions. Now look, I'm from Somalia. I'm from Somalia. Look what they did to us. And this is exactly how they invited one another. They invited themselves to Somalia. And they said, this part is colonized by the French. So you're no longer Somali. You're no longer part of that nation. You are called Djibouti. They came to my part of the world. And they said, you're no longer part of Somalia. You are Somali, British Somali. You're no longer part of your nation. They came to the west, they went to the south, and they say, you are Italian, you're no longer Somali. You don't affiliate yourself with the rest of your race. They took another part, and they gave to Kenya, and they say, you're no longer a Somali Muslim, you are Kenyan. They took the fifth part, and they say, you're no longer Somali Muslim, you are Ethiopian. تَدَعَى عَلَيْكُمَ الْأُمَمُ. So one of the things is to make sure that the Muslim nations are divided into small segments. Secondly, we must, this is what they said, we must empower the minority. Now, we're not saying we should, abuse, and underserve the minority. Ma'adallah, that is not power, or that's not part of our faith. But they said, no, we got to create a minority that does not exist. We create, fabricate, give them so, small fraction and make the case of the nation, so the nation can be in a dawama, cannot ever progress. Christians in Egypt, what we know, al-Qibtiyin or al-Qibtiyun, small fraction. But the situation, the case, is only United Nations stable almost every summit. Why? Because they need to create, even though, yes, they are the richest, they are the most educated part of the society, they have so much power in the government, but the case have to be brought back again and again. So they decided that, تَدَعَى عَلَيْكُمَ الْأُمَمُ. I went in 2019, I went to a remote area that was hit by the drought in Kenya. Myself, brothers from India and Pakistan and United Arab Emirates, we flew there. And the first thing that I saw when we landed, I saw a building on the top of the mountain. Beautiful building. I said to the brothers, before we go, I want to see what is it? What is that building on the top of the city in a place called in Marsabit? So we went. It was a massive church that was established. It was established in 1926. Do you remember when we lost our Khilafah? Do you remember? Immediately after the Khilafah al-Islamiyah was destroyed, they went to the end of East Africa to establish a church. 1926. And I went and I saw nations, I saw people, communities, whom their third last name or second last name is Abdurrahman, or Abdullah, or Muhammad, or Umar, or Ali. But the first name is Christian, and the second name is Christian. So they came to these Muslims. They killed the scholars. They destroyed their tradition and legacy, and they took their children to school and turned them into Christians. I went to South Africa before I continue, subhanAllah. I went to South Africa, and the brothers, before we went out of, we finished the conference, they said, let us take you and see you, and I'll show you the city of Johannesburg. So we went. All the speakers, we were around 9 speakers, and they took us through the mall, they took us to this nice restaurant, and the shiuch who I was with, they said, we need to go to the washrooms, before we proceed. After we ate, I waited outside. This is South Africa. When I waited outside, a young man saw me standing with a thobe and kufi. And he came, and he just is, young African man. And he came and he said, where can I get this? Where can I get this? The thing that you're wearing. I said, why would you want to wear one of my outfits? He said, because my grandfather, every other night, he comes to me wearing this on a mountain when everybody's wearing white. And he's saying, my son, join us. So I said, are you Muslim? He said, no. Is your father Muslim? He said, no. I said, was your grandfather Muslim? And he looked down with a sad face and he said, yes, but I don't know anything about him. I said, what was he doing in your dream? He said, a lot of other people, they were climbing up a mountain, all wearing white, but different, little bit different of this. So I took my phone, and I Googled Arafah, the day of Arafah. And I showed it to him, and he, wallahi, ikhwah, he cried. He said, how did you know? How do you know this is my grandfather, what my dream was? I say, your grandfather is not asking you to buy a thawb. Your grandfather is inviting you to Islam. Repeat after me, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadun Rasulullah. This is what they did as far as South Africa, where we as Muslims ruled once upon a time. Tada alaykum al-umam. Now listen to the sahabi. يقول كما تدعى الأمة كما يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كما تدعى الأكلة على قصعتها. As people invite one another on the feast. Now, why did the messenger of Allah use food as an example? Why? Because food, when you're eating and consuming, when you're devouring food, food does not challenge you. Food does not resist you. You grab that piece of chicken and you put it into your mouth, and it will not fight you back. That is the condition of the Muslims. We will be eating according to this prophecy. We will be, ripped apart. And none of us will come to aid his brother. And there's one of the Sahaba. I can only imagine the feeling of the Sahaba at that moment. I can only imagine the rage of the Sahaba. Imagine what they were feeling at that time. I can only imagine. So one of them said, أَوَ مِنْ قِلَّةِ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. He said, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, is this happening to us because we are few in numbers? Are we being, devoured like food, divided like animals and sheep, oppressed and suppressed because we are few in numbers? Because that Sahabi, perhaps it was the same Sahabi who fought in the Battle of Badr, fought against 1,000 mushrik while there were only 300 to 315 mu'mineen. So for him to fathom the idea, to accept the idea, to analyze the idea, to digest the idea, to process the idea, there would be a time that non-Muslims, that other nations would come and would do this to us. It was something that he could not conceive. قَالَ وَمِنْ قِلَّةِ. Are we few in numbers? But the messenger of Allah said, لا. No. No. That's not the reason. بل أنتم, he said, rather you are so many. قَالَ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٌ. He said, that day, you are so many. You are so many. According to the latest thing that CIA did in Muslim nations, so because if I quote a Muslim, census of Muslim, it will say, no, this is Muslims trying to boost each other. The latest that I've read, Muslims were way over 2.2 billion. 2.2 billion, not 313. No, 2.2 billion. But the messenger of Allah said, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ أَنْتُمْ يُو كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. He said, you, Yes. You are in number. Yes. Everywhere I go in the world, I went from Korea to South Africa. I went almost everywhere in Europe. I went to North America, to Mexico, everywhere. Muslims are everywhere. ولكنهم but they are غثاء كغثاء السيل. Do you know غثاء كغثاء السيل? I don't know if you ever understand what I'm saying, but have you ever watched a water after a rain, a water coming from high point, you know, running, a stream of water running, and on top of that water, you have brownish, dirty, dusty, you know, foam that is flying or walking or, you know, literally traveling on the top of that running water. And that foam has no authority over itself. It just goes with the water. It moves with the water. You know, and look, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the description is so precise. Even the foam is not clean. It's a ghutha. It's useless. Useless. Ghutha ka ghutha is said. If the water stops, it will stop. If the water moves, it will move. If it goes left, it will go left. If it goes right, it will go right. Subhanallah, it seems that the Rasulullah was describing Muslim nation in the United Nations summit. Muslim nation, you know, when the West or the world, rest of the world go left, we go left. If they go right, we go right. If they stop, we stop. If they say we attack, we attack. If they say we retreat, we retreat. غثاء غثاك غثاء السيد. والله, if nothing else that I got from Rasulullah as علم الغيب, other than this, this would have been enough for me. Because I live it. We're all living it. 2.2 million. 2.2. And we don't even come to help one another. We don't even come. You know, I'm all in a social media, and I'm, subhanAllah, I'm looking how the Western world, with all hypocrisy, how they're attacking Qatar for allowing Zakir Naik to speak, for allowing, you know, Ya ayyuha an-nas inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha wa ja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabail lita'arafu inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. They are criticizing the opening day because it was part of the Quran. Yet I see everybody who's defending Qatar almost are non-Muslims. And the Muslims, they are afraid that if they put themselves in the social media, maybe they may not get a visa to a certain country. Maybe the visa were denied because there's a YouTube, there's a clip from Facebook, there's a clip from TikTok that's saying, you know, wait a second. Please, as we respect your cultures, please, as we respect your history, please respect my deen, my culture, my society. We don't go for the aid. We don't help our brothers in Qatar. Western women and men who have common sense have to say, this is their lifestyle and this is our lifestyle. Let us just stay there for over 20 days and move back. See? غُثَا كَغُثَا is saying. Imagine if even 100 million, not 2.2 billion, 100 million of Muslims at once, or at least during that period, if they get engaged in social media with the message defending our principles as a Muslim and our cultures as a nation, there would be no one to speak. But Muslims, we do not help each other. So the messenger of Allah saying, وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَا يَنْزَعَنَّ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْ قُلُوبِ عَدُوِّكُمْ. عَجَبًا. عَجَبًا. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in a distance of a month, The enemy, if they learn that the messenger of Allah considering that direction, they used to be afraid in a distance of a month. But now, the messenger of Allah said, Allah will take the fear, the mahaba, the respect from the heart of your enemy. So, when an enemy of Islam wants to do something to Islam, they have no respect, no regard. They kill Iraqi children. No respect from the rest of the ummah. No consideration, because they know they will not do anything. They destroyed Libya. No respect. No respect for Muslims. Everything that they want to do, they can do. And no Muslim will move, because they have no consideration of your feelings and my strength and your strength, because Allah took that from their hearts. وَلَيَنْزَعَنَّ الْمَهَابَةَ مِنْ قُلُوبِ عَدُوِّكُمْ. You know, if I have to do something to you right now, if I have to do something in this city, in this country, if I have to see what result can come out of that? If I go through a red light, what result can come out of that? If I break the law of the immigration of this country, what is the consequence that can come out of that? Now, I have fear and respect for the law and the regulation of this country, because I know the consequences. But if I know there is no consequences, I can do whatever I want to do and nobody will do anything to me. I can go through a red light and run over someone. I can go and, you know, do whatever I want to do with this country. Nobody's going to talk to me. Then yes, I will do it. If I don't have morality and self-respect and fear of Allah. So when your enemy, the enemy of Islam, when they have no respect, no regard, then killing, you know, women and children, raping women in Iraq, Libya, Syria, you know, then it's nothing. Why? Because, simply because, لَيَنْزَعَنَّ اللَّهُ مِنْ قُلُوبِ عَدُوِّ الْمَهَابَةِ مِنْ قُلُوبِ عَدُوِّكُمْ. Let's know that. Know that. العجيب يا عباد الله, the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ أَوْ يَجْعَلَنَّ الْوَهْنَ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. أو الوهن, يجعلنا الوهن. قلنا وما الوهن يا رسول الله. We said, what is الوهن? What is وهن? The messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, they said, what is وهن? Allah يقول, ولا تهنوا ولا تحزنوا وأنتم الأعلى. What is الوهن طيب? He said, here, الوهن has a different definition. قال حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. See, this one is حب الدنيا and كراهية الموت. See, two things. حب الدنيا, love of this dunya, and hate of death, to dislike. We all hate death. But what it means here, to die for a purpose. حب الدنيا. See, when you are so much engaged and indulged in this dunya, you don't want to leave. You don't want to leave. When you are so attached to something, you want to keep it. When you work effortlessly, when you go beyond your means, try to accomplish something, when you give everything that you have for something, that thing has a value in your heart. It has a meaning in your heart. I work hard for my car. You know, I save money. You know, I work overtime. I get a loan for my brothers, and I buy this car. With the small scratch that you do to my car, I will fight you. Isn't that right, Ikhwan? With the small scratch. Because I worked for it. But for this deen, Since we didn't work for it, we didn't struggle it. When someone is doing something to it, it has no value. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, here he's saying, قَالَ وَلَيَنْزَعَنَّ الْمَهَابَةَ فِي قُلُوبِ عَدُوِّكُمْ. حُبَّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَهِيَةِ الْمَوْتِ. حُبَّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَهِيَةِ الْمَوْتِ. Now, when we love, when we hate death, what does that mean? It means you are allowing yourself to be a coward. You don't want to die. You don't want to die for something that you have value for, or it has value in your heart. That means you not willing to do what is necessary for you to move forward. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الوهن حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. Once I was in Canada, and we had we have a ministry called the Ministry of Safety. Ministry of Safety. And Ministry of Safety, what he did, he said, I want to meet with the imams. So he met with us. So while we were talking, to show you, you know, حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت, while we were talking, I said to him, you know, this is one-on-one with a few brothers. He said, you know, I said, you know, he said, I've been busy, and he mentioned a country. He said, I was in that country. I was taking a course. This is a Canadian you know, Ministry of Safety, which means he's responsible of all the safety, public safety, the police, you know, secret agents, you know, what we call CCs or RBRCMP, all of this. He's responsible of that. And I said, so why did you go to such a Muslim country? He said, I wanted to learn how to mine and bring back fundamentals. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, you know, those young men that always in the... Now, keep in mind, he's talking to an imam of a masjid. He said, those people who are always in the masjid, young men who are always sitting in the masjid, I said, those who practice. He said, yes. I said, and what have you learned? He said, we were there for a week. I said, what have you learned? He said, if you want them to, you know, move on from that, that's the word he used, move on, we have to get, they taught us, now imagine this, he's going to Muslim country to educate this, you know, Ministry of Safety, how to take Muslim youth or Muslim men from the deen and keep them involved with something else. So I said, what did they teach you during this week? He said, what they did was they make them wealthy. They gave dunya. They gave businesses. They gave resources. Wallahi. They gave. So he said, and they taught us by these men who are on the manabir, this young man who is talking about defending Islam, you know, no disrespect, but the wrong way, he said. But the wrong way, you know, these young men, if they get involved with wealth, with style, with businesses, then they will no longer have time for this nonsense, he said. Which means for Islam. So exactly what he did was, he put حب الدنيا in the heart. That country, what they did, they put حب الدنيا in the hearts of the da'is. They put حب الدنيا in the hearts of the imams. They said, we give you money, we give you salary. Talk about the dhikr of Allah. Talk about Jannah. Talk about, you know, an adab al-qabr. Talk about tawheed. But don't talk about, you know, worrying about your Muslim brothers. Don't worry about the sisters being raped in that part of the world. Don't worry about the oppression that is happening here. Don't worry, none of that. Just worry about your business. And when you have that, then the next thing is you will love this dunya, and you will hate to die. One of the Salihin, he came to the one of the Umara and the Amir or the rulers, and the Amir said, Ya Hada, oh you, why do we hate death and we love dunya? He said, because you ruin your dunya, you ruin your akhirah, and you build your dunya, and that's why you love this dunya. That's why you love this dunya. So, ibadallah, I know I'm running out of time, But I want to read some of the prophecy that shows al-wahn in the society, in the community. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is one of the asbab al-wahn, he said, khamsan, qala istahallat idha istahallat ummati khamsan. He said, if my ummah made five things acceptable, if they accept that morally and physically, if they accept that, then wait ad-damaru alayhim. Qala istahallatum, idha qala idha istahallat ummati khamsan fa alayhim ad-damar. Qal idha dhahara al-tala'un. He said, the day that Muslims are cursing each other, the day that a Muslim cursing each other, that's number one. He said, wa sharibu al-khumur, and they start consuming alcohol. And you can see Muslim country, 100% alcohol is allowed. As a matter of fact, I have seen some Muslim country that was so proud that now they produce alcohol. Allahu Akbar. And as though they were saying, now we have freed al-Quds. You know, news. It's a press conference. Qala wa sharib al-khumur. وَلَبِسُ الْحَرِيرِ, and they wear silk. قَالُوا وَاتَّخَذُ الْقِيَامِ, and they listen to a young lady singing music. They start listening. Oh, you know, there's an award. We have awards for singers. Allahu Akbar. We have awards for singers. Oh, she won the best album of the year. Oh, he won the best album of the year. And this is the headlines. Not only that we listen in our homes, we award them. As a matter of fact, if your child is a Muslim child, la samahallah, who of course is not understanding Islam, if the voice is good, the first thing that comes to their mind is not let this child be a reciter of the Quran, but let her or him be a singer. Illa ma rahima rabbuk. Qal, and I know you may not like this hadith, but the hadith is sahih. صححه الألباني وغيره من حديث أنس بن مالك رضي الله عنه قال واكتفى الرجال بالرجال. And men are happy with men. والنساء بالنساء, and women are happy with women. This is not me. Now when the ummah gets engaged in these five things, when we start cursing one another, when we don't want to drink so we can have that soul, when we listen to music, when a man want to be with men and women want to be with women, then where is your priority? That's the court of al-wahn. Because all of these five things are things that will distract you from the actual goal. It is something that will distract you, that your life, your death, everything belongs to Allah. It's something that will distract you to uplift this deen to the way that Allah wanted. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. Remember these five things. Cursing each other, fighting with one another, engage with one another. Remember, drinking, music, men being with men, and a man being with men. I hope you guys understand. I hope you understand when I say women are satisfied with women and men are satisfied with men, with women. Each gender satisfied with each other. This is the ultimate destruction. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to not make us and live that. What I want to remind you all of is, yes, there's a wahn, but also Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, until the day, until the end of time, there would be a group from my ummah will stand for the haqq, for the truth, and they will never be defeated until the day of judgment. So in spite of all that darkness, in spite of all the plotting of the kuffar, all the plotting of the non-Muslims against Islam, there will always be members of this ummah who will always show the nation that is the light, that is the book of Allah, that is the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, taraktukum ala al-mahajjati al-bayda layluha kan-nahari. He said, I left you on a plain, clear path. And the Messenger of Allah also said, if you hold on the book of Allah and the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will never go astray. So to overcome all this, to overcome all this fitna, hold on to the book of Allah and follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And me as Saeed, when I see young women and men coming to a conference, dressed the way you dress, sitting here early morning, it gives me hope. It gives me that peace of mind, comfort of the heart. And I know ummatina, our ummah, is bi khair hatta yawm al-qiyama. Aqulu ma tasma'un, jazakum Allah khair. Wa salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا أمتي فاستبشري مهما تكاثرت الجراح.